This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone you know has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a man who is a god.
Oh, right.
A god amongst us. I really don't know what else to say about this dude. It's Brad Pitt. We all know who Brad Pitt is.
Only one person on earth not impressed by Brad Pitt.
And Shania.
And Shania Twain.
She's come out and redacted that. She was just like, he was in the headlines. Of course I'm impressed by him.
No, okay.
He's Brad Pitt.
Well, then everyone's impressed by Brad Pitt.
Every single person. We had one person holding out, but she eventually caved and went, you know what? Yeah.
Of course.
Have a look at him.
I've revisited things. I've seen some of the movies he's produced. I didn't know he produced. I'm a fan.
A fantastic producer as well as an actor. He has been one of the sexiest men on planet Earth since he was born.
I mean, I know how you feel about Bradley, but why is this just what you want to do this morning? You just want to just basically
gawk at Bradley Pitt.
Just a bit of a Brad Pitt's stand session. Is there any point to this?
There is a point to this.
Oh, okay.
The paparazzi have snapped him chatting to his mate Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers about a motorbike. Mm-hmm. He's just standing out in the street having a look at it. Like I've never seen Brad Pitt look more like a dad.
God, that's
He's got hands on the hips going like,
that is a television show I didn't realize until this moment I want badly in my soul.
Flea and Pitt.
No, celebrity buy, swap, and sell.
Yeah.
Just celebrities selling each other things. Because you've got to presume that's one of their motorbikes and maybe the other one's considering buying it.
Yeah, or showing it off. But yeah,
just that's like, yeah, all right, I'll give you 15 for that.
Yeah, $15.
Grand.
Yeah, of course. It would be interesting because they have so much money at their disposal. That's why
I would love to see celebrity buy, swap, and sell.
No, the reason I am talking about Brad Pitt is one of the things that they've pointed out is that his dark roots, he's usually very blonde, but his dark roots are coming through because he's not been able to go to the salon and dye his hair.
Bit of nasty regrowth.
Well, it's not nasty. It still looks great on him, but he just does have pretty hectic regrowth. It just makes me feel a little bit better about myself this morning. I'm nowhere near even, I shouldn't even be allowed to say the name Brad Pitt. But it's nice to know that, like, he still has to, like, that doesn't just happen.
Can I just ask you a quick question, though?
Sure.
I mean, I get what you're saying, and that he has to maintain his hair and he dyes his hair.
There wasn't just a man who was made that perfectly.
How old is he? Do we know?
He'd be like 50-something. 56?
Yeah. So our dads are about that age.
Yeah.
Your dad's hair.
My dad's 60.
Your dad's hair? Update for those listening?
Gone.
No hair. My dad's hair?
Yeah.
White as the driven snow.
Yes.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Dark roots.
Dark roots.
Still has a full head of hair, still has dark roots.
Thicker hair than me, darker hair than me.
So if we're hoping this would make
56 years.
Putting this out there this morning so people would feel better about themselves.
It's a small thing.
He's still a god. I mean, that's amazing.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, one of the great actors in recent memory. He's been in Marvel movies. He's been in other very cool movies like Creed and Creed 2. Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
His name would want to be Michael B. Jordan because I saw a very funny meme that was like, if you just have a good name, that's enough to like get people talking about you and stuff. Mm. I think that's what like The Weeknd did.
Yeah.
It's like, because people go like, oh, The Weeknd, and then you get confused and then people start going, hey, are you talking about The Weeknd or the artist The Weeknd?
Mm.
Starts people talking about it. It's the same with Michael B. Jordan. It's like, do you mean Michael Jordan? It's like, no, the actor Michael B. Jordan.
To pick some way to distinguish myself from the greatest basketball player of all time.
So put in a B.
Just put in a B in there.
People
He's Michael
know.
Jordan A, yeah. I'm Michael Jordan B.
No, but he seems like a great dude. He's a really, really good actor. And he was out for dinner recently, this week, put it on his Instagram story, that he ordered pizza at a very nice Italian restaurant and then put honey all over, like drizzled honey all over the pizza.
Yeah, right.
His friends are like, what are you doing?
Just adding a bit of sweetness to the pizza.
Bit of sweet, bit of sour, bit of spice.
I could see that working depending on the flavor.
He said, no, not sweet and sour. He said sweet and salty.
Yeah.
Like if you have like salami, I reckon any kind of meat would be quite nice with honey.
Salted caramel.
Mm. There you go.
Now, I could see that working. I just don't know the pizza you'd put it on. I really don't know what one would be complemented by honey. Maybe honey barbecue or something like that, but then that's already usually in the sauce anyway.
You're unfortunate. I know, because this is what I said, a really nice Italian restaurant. Mm. I know that your pizza limitations end at what gets offered at Domino's or Pizza Hut. Mm-hmm. He could have been offered, there like could have been pastrami on some of his pizza.
Right, okay,
like,
I believe they do that stuff too, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I have two pizzas I order.
Yeah,
it's one of two.
You either get Hawaiian or barbecue rasher
bacon.
I'll be honest, I don't think this restaurant offered either of those.
You could have some honey on it. You could put some honey on that.
Would you?
I'm not a massive honey guy.
Yeah, right.
The right amount of honey, beautiful. So, yeah, maybe. Just a Sousson. Just a Sousson.
Just a little bit of honey. He drizzles it all over the
pizza.
Okay,
that's too much.
Yep. He likes not thick, but enough that it covers the whole pizza.
Mm. No, that's not something I'd go for. That's a unique food combination that doesn't sound like it'd be up my alley.
This is something we do semi-frequently on the show because every time we get different answers and they're very interesting and unique. And I don't think we've ever had the same person call up twice. We always get different
stuff.
Yeah,
no, this is great. This is one of my favorite things that we do because it opens a food experimentation dialogue with Canberra.
Yep.
And you guys get it. You understand what we're looking for.
That's exactly right. You jump the gun. We are doing weird food combinations. What's the weird thing that you combine that everyone goes, ugh, but you swear by it? If you had it your way, people would just open their minds to this very specific food combinations. I love hearing these because I think I've tried like one or two of them, and I don't remember them being... Like, I think I would remember if they were horrifically bad, because I'm like, cool, I'm never going to do that again. So the fact I can't remember specific examples, I think means that they were okay.
I have always maintained that the combination of tomato sauce and white bread as just a sauce sandwich...
Your sauce sandwich is a favourite.
Tremendous option if you're just looking for a quick snack.
Exactly.
Repulses some people.
Yep.
These are the kind of things we're looking for. Combining a couple of foods that are standalone and making it into a brand new dish that you love. Share your loves with Canberra.
131060, what's your weird food combination?
Claire from Rivet, how are you this morning? You there, Claire?
Good, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Great, Claire, what is the food combination you go in for?
Okay, so you know how some days you need some lunch, but you don't know what you want, and you end up just making a sandwich, right? What I put on my sandwich is peanut butter and banana.
Ooh.
No, my mum does this. This is definitely a tried and true method. My mum swears by this, peanut butter and banana.
So do I.
Yeah.
You slice the banana up into little circular slices?
If I have time, otherwise I just break it in half and put it on.
Oh, okay. I thought you were actually going to say like a Bunnings sausage and bread scenario. I was like, what are you talking about?
Replace everything but the bread.
That is a revolutionary, quite frankly.
That's something I can absolutely get my mind around.
Natalie from Jarrabomba, you've got another bread-inspired creation, is that correct?
Yeah, I really love like herb bread or garlic bread with chocolate.
Well, okay, what kind of chocolate? Like Nutella?
So I first tried it with like fondant chocolate.
Mm.
So that was amazing. I had no fruit left to dip it in. But even like sometimes I try it with like chocolate biscuits or just as pieces of chocolate. So anything savory, even like chips and Tim Tams, it's amazing.
Just with a bit of chocolate. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an eclectic option. Do you have trouble melt? Do you try and melt the chocolate into the bread, or is it literally just room temperature?
If it's already melted, then great. But if it's not available, I just put on like a sandwich.
You don't have time to wait.
No, I do it a lot at morning teas, and people think I'm weird, but I don't care.
I can't imagine why.
This is revolutionary. Yeah. It's almost using bread as the middle part of a sandwich and chocolate as the bread.
It's like a s'more. Garlic bread s'more.
Certainly doesn't sound healthy, that's for sure. Lorraine from Watson, what do you like to get into?
I like to sprinkle vinegar on my pizzas.
Okay.
Balsamic vinegar or just white cooking vinegar?
No, just white vinegar. My dad introduced us to it years ago.
Okay, is it the saltiness of it? You can just put salt on pizza. I feel like the vinegar would make it wet.
You just sprinkle it and it just gives that extra zing onto the pizza.
Bit of zest.
My dad also used to dip raw carrots in sugar for it.
Yeah, so I feel like that negates the eating your vegetables thing if you dip them in sugar.
Just lick your finger and dip that in
sugar.
Sounds
pretty unreal, but if you get... I know how to get the kids to eat vegetables. Yeah. Nah, it's kind of counterproductive.
Cover them in sugar, that'll be right.
Ben from Queanbeyan, wrap this up for us. What do you like?
Mee goreng noodles and mac and cheese.
You're a genius.
Combined.
You're a genius.
Combine it together.
Do you put the mee goreng flavouring in with it, or is it just the noodles?
I pretty much make them separate, and then once they're pretty made the way you like it, you just combine them.
No,
I'm going to take a shot in the dark, Ben. Are you single?
No. My fiance thinks it's quite weird.
No, I was going to say, Ben, I mean, I know where Ned was going with that, but I don't think you should be single. I think you're a genius. Yeah. I think you're an innovator. I think you're a person everyone should want to get to know, Ben.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
We've got some horrifying news.
Bit of scary news. So you keep saying because human population is staying inside a little bit.
Yes.
Animals are starting to thrive again. Like, you're seeing it in a lot of national parks. I've been seeing the news stories about, like, they're worried about people going back because bears are becoming more confident. Mm. Like, mountain lions are coming down. They haven't seen people for a while, and they're just getting used to being like, oh, well, I guess this is life. So when people go back, the bears might be like, what are you doing here?
Mm.
There was also, like, the rumor that dolphins were swimming in the canals of Venice. Not true.
Mm.
There are fish there, though, so I guess that's nice.
The water's clearer, which is good, too.
All of these things are really good, because it's like animals taking back the planet.
Yeah.
All good. The first that I've seen really, really bad version of this is that the CDC...
in the US?
Yeah. Are warning people that because people aren't throwing out their rubbish as much as they usually do in places like New York City or big cities, people aren't just throwing their trash around... Rats are not having as much to eat, and they are becoming cannibals.
So the rats are eating each other?
CDC's warn of aggressive cannibal rats facing shortage of garbage
that
to eat.
That is horrible. Yes. That is just a horrible news story.
Yep, sure is.
Can I say something quickly? Yep. Does this not solve massive rat infestation problems?
Well, I suppose...
The rats are kind of taking care of each other.
This is what I'm scared about, though.
That's probably not okay for...
In 1949, so this is a study that was done that long ago...
A while ago.
There was 36 humans to one rat. Then the next year, it jumped to four people per one rat. And now, it's like, I think the rat to human ratio in New York City is like 1,000 rats to one person.
Wow.
So if they start turning cannibal and eating each other, and the
how long before they have a rat meeting where they go, this is madness.
Well,
let's eat the humans.
Yeah. Well, this is it. Darwin's evolution of the fittest. Mm-hmm. We're essentially weeding out the weak rats.
Oh, you're saying that we
so
might
the
end
strong
up-
rats are becoming cannibals.
And we end up with
nothing good comes out of this.
We end up with a super large, super smart rat.
Yep. The smartest, the strongest, the hungriest will survive.
We're talking about the rat from Bananas in Pyjamas.
He's the smartest, strongest, and...
He ran a shop.
Yeah.
You could trust him. Because he was a rat.
There's also no other rats in wherever the Bananas in his pajamas
left. He was
the
only rat.
So maybe he's eaten all the other rats.
And became a shopkeeper.
See, I more imagine Rattus the Rat from Feral TV as a rat that would be eating other rats. He looks like looks horrible.
Look, we've either got...
It looks like something you pull out of a drain.
A future where rats the size of people exist.
And they...
Or rats the size of, like, possums exist. So we're not really sure yet.
Yeah.
But either way, it'll either be hosting a TV show or running a shop by the end of the year.
Either way... I'm interested to
see. To see how this goes.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
You are out in the frozen tundra of waiting for an online purchase to the point of, I think you probably just think you've been ripped off now, don't you?
I'm so pissed because I've got... Okay.
Just quick story. Don't rant. Just tell us what's happened.
I ordered I don't want to say a bit of art, but I guess it's like a poster that I was going to put in a frame. Graphic design that I was going to put above my TV. Looking forward to it. Bought it ages ago, literally midway through last month. The final delivery date, like the estimated delivery date, the very last day it could arrive, the 8th of May.
It's now the 28th of May. So that's 20 days ago.
It's 20 days ago.
Maths real quick then, just that's out on the top of my head.
One day off 3 days. One day off 3 weeks. There we go. Finally got there. The annoying thing is I am in correspondence with this person, the person who sent it, and they're like, no, it's coming. And I'm like, when?
The annoying thing for me is I'm in correspondence with you as your friend who's venting to me about this.
Yep.
So I'd also like you to get this package pretty toot sweet. Where's it coming from?
Canada.
Okay. Interesting you mentioned that. Got a story for you.
Okay.
You ready to hear this?
Yes.
Canada. Guy gets a package that he ordered online 8 years ago.
He just got it.
Just got it. It's making international news this morning.
Jesus.
Package finally delivered to this guy in Canada after 8 freaking years.
Yeah.
So maybe 20 days isn't that bad in retrospect.
Well, yeah. In retrospect.
Maybe you're sitting there just going, you know what?
Yeah.
could be worse.
It could be a lot worse. Yeah, and look, that's it. That, at the end of the day, it could be a lot worse. I could have any real problem.
Yeah, well, that's also true.
But I swear to God, if this is... If
you don't believe in God. This is very interesting.
If this is not here, if this package is not here... By midway through next month, I will not only name the website that I bought
this off,
but I will name the person I bought it off.
Oh, wow.
And hand out her or his email address.
And the last laugh will be on them when they hand your credit card details out in response.
Which is fair enough. But at this point, it's getting to the point now where I almost want to say, like, don't even worry. Like, I just want my money back.
When you start to resent the thing you bought to the point where it's not going to bring you joy anymore when you get it.
Because I bought it and it was kind of like haphazardly like, oh, I'll get this. This is fine. Now I'm like, I don't care about getting this anymore.
Do you realize this is, and this isn't the point, but this is something I'm going to say.
Sure.
Realize there's a period in human history where if you only had to wait 20 days for something to get from Canada to here, you'd be like, oh,
this is insane.
Lightning speed. Now we're like, so where is it?
Where is this? Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, I say to this person, whoever they are, I'm like, what's the tracking number? And they're like, oh, we don't have it.
Yeah, you've been ripped off.
Yeah, I have.
13, 10, 16.
And I am booking the second the borders open, I'm going to Canada.
Probably just buy what you bought from a different website. Probably
no
cheaper.
No way. I've got vengeance in my soul now.
13, 10, 60. I would love to know right now, what's the longest you've received something after you bought it?
So you
made an online purchase and you received it how long after? Because 20 days at the moment is what we're looking at?
No, so I bought it. That apparently she sent it on
20 days ago.
23rd of April.
Oh, we're over a month, ladies and gentlemen. We're over a month.
It's 20 days past when it was meant to arrive.
13 10 60 is the number to call this morning with everybody doing online purchases left, right, and center in the world we're living in at the moment. I'd love to hear some horror stories. What's the longest you've waited for a package and it has actually still arrived?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some hope for Ned here that he hasn't been ripped off. These stories could help fuel that hope.
Yeah.
How long did you wait for something and it just eventually get there?
Mm-hmm.
Just had to give it some time.
Weeks, months, years, 13, 10, 60.
Mike on the line from London. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, man. Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, good, Mike.
Great,
now,
Mike.
Where'd you make this purchase from, first and foremost?
Well... Firstly, it wasn't a purchase. It was a family gift. So I've got family back in Vancouver, Canada, and every year they send Christmas.
So this is Canada as well. This is where Ned's package is coming from.
And I like the little twist on this because no one's got anything to gain from this.
This is just a
gift.
This
is not like someone like, oh, I forgot to post it because I don't really care. This is someone who wants to get something to you, Mike.
Yeah, definitely. Mum's pretty reliable that way.
How long was it, Mike?
Just shy of 8 weeks. So I reckon you're still good.
A week or 8 weeks?
8 weeks.
Eight weeks. So 2 months. There we go.
Granted, it was around Christmas period, but,
I would say with what we've got going on at the moment, COVID style, it would be like almost Christmas time. Yeah. So I'd say you've probably 8 weeks.
This hawser up in Canada is saying that there's also like Christmas-like delays because of everything that's going on. But
okay. Yeah.
I'm already...
Were you trying to say the word hoser?
I'm saying like hoser. That's what you say in Canada. Oh. It's like, your hoser, eh?
I thought that was someone from Indianapolis.
A hoser? Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure that's like... I was going to say Canuck, but I don't know what that is.
Okay. Let's keep moving along. Sophia's on the line from Theodore. How are you?
Heya. Good morning.
Sophia.
Heya, indeed.
How long have you waited for something to arrive after you've bought it?
It was my husband, and he got a CD from eBay, and it took a year because it got stopped in Egypt, then Dubai.
Wow.
Finally got it. Yep.
This is
what blows my mind about online shopping. It can just sit in like a logistics warehouse for 2 months, and someone's like, oh, it is. Oh, what's that over there?
We should send that. Yeah.
Is that just Gary's lunch, or is that a CD that needs to go to Australia?
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
Was it worth the wait, Sophia? Was it a good CD, or were you at the end of the day like, whatever?
It's really good. It's some really obscure Italian singer from the 80s that my husband loves. But
Well, that makes sense. Because I was going to say, you understand what a torrent is, don't you?
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, Arnott's make every biscuit you could think of, pretty much.
Except for Oreos. They make that terrible, like, rip-off version of an Oreo.
But they give it a shot.
They put in the assorted creams.
Yeah. They know that they're not going to get it.
Here's a revolutionary concept. In the assorted creams, where they put that crappy rip-off Oreo, Tim Tams. Like, 3 Tim Tams. How great would that be?
It would be fantastic. It's funny you mentioned Tim Tams, because that's what I would like to talk about. Arnott's are doing a little bit of a you guys decide. on the next flavour of Tim Tam.
See, this is they've already reached flavour perfection with the Tim Tams, and that's the Tim Tam double chocolate.
Really?
It's just, it is extra little. It's like they took a Tim Tam and just made it more Tim Tammy.
Yeah, they're
and
like.
And then that was it. That was the win. They shouldn't have gone for, like, you know, strawberry and all these different flavours. No, just double chocolate. That was already that was the total win.
They essentially just made the Tim Tam more dense. Yeah. And then they're like, all right, off you go.
Delightful.
No, they're considering, well, they're not considering, they're going to release a new kind of Tim Tam, and they're letting the people decide. The two options are double choc caramel cream or coconut cream.
Ah.
Now, I, first of all, assumed both of those flavors existed of Tim Tams. I'm not up to date with what's going on Tim Tam wise.
No, neither am I. I can't say I am, yeah.
The clear winner for me, though, is a double choc caramel cream. And this is coming from a dude who doesn't like chocolate.
Yeah.
I like caramel, but
the caramel,
I don't like,
is absolute. And by the cream also makes it sound like it's not going to be that, like, caramel that sticks to your teeth. It'll be like a nice gooey caramel.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the win.
Yeah.
I've never understood the appeal of coconut.
Me neither.
Full stop.
In anything.
I feel bad saying that because I know a lot of people like coconut, but like coconut water, that sounds horrible to me.
I like coconut. This is the weird thing. I actually like eating coconut, like a little bit of coconut flesh, whatever it's called. That's great. I don't like coconut flavoring. I don't like whatever.
Coconut milk?
Coconut milk. I don't like coconut water. I don't like Malibu or whichever one has coconut in it.
Mm.
Nothing that, any artificial coconut flavoring is not good.
But you enjoy just munging into a bit of coconut.
But if you crack me open a fresh coconut, I go coconut for a coconut.
That's the most unique set of circumstances under which one will eat coconut that I think I've ever heard. You don't like shavings on a dessert.
No.
You don't like the milk. You don't like any, as you said, the Malibu and stuff. But straight coconut?
Great.
Give me that.
And I rarely
I think you'd be in the minority
coconut.
There, yeah.
I'm sure I absolutely am. Look, there's a poll on the website that I'm on that puts the choc caramel cream closer to winning than not, but not by as much as you'd think.
This is a very similar situation to our musical democracy here on the show.
Yeah.
We do the song Showdown at 9 o'clock where you get to pick between two songs. Ned picks one, I pick one.
Yeah.
Here's a bit of behind the scenes news for you, Canberra. Some mornings we purposely pick a crappy song because we actually want to hear one of them. I think that's what Arnott's have done here.
They want to win.
They've gone, let's put this beautiful caramel, chocolatey delight up against something that contains, is coconut a fruit? A vegetable?
It's a nut.
Who wants that? You want the caramel chocolate decadence. That sounds fantastic versus essentially the biscuit form of having your vegetables.
Exactly right.
Arnott's know what they're doing here. They know which one's going to win by a landslide.
But much like when you and I put up a goofy song that to lose, we can't trust people.
Sometimes it could win.
Because as far as the voting goes, it's 41-59.
I love the idea.
So there's 9% difference.
I love the idea that somebody at the Arnott's marketing team is now sitting there going, where the hell are we going to get a bunch of coconut from? Do we even know where to buy coconut? Oh, my God.
I'll just scrape it off the Vovos.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, if you wanted to find some face masks at the moment, to the central coast of New South Wales would be the place to go because some fell off a cargo ship and now they're just washing up on the central coast beaches. So a little bit of that's unfortunate. It's not what you want.
It's not
we
good.
Need them at the moment, so it's a bit disappointing. But also, apparently, the update this morning is, because this was happening yesterday, the full container is now washed up as well. So, we've now got the container that was containing them has now also washed up on the
beach.
So,
it's not just stray masks anymore. So, we know where they're coming from.
Here's the thing, right? Obviously, this is being given widespread coverage in the news at the moment because COVID-19, we're losing masks at a time when the world needs these masks.
Not good.
How often does this happen and we don't know about it and it's not masks, it's just other containers and maybe a bunch of TVs are just washing up on the Central Coast? Like, does this happen?
Yeah.
PlayStations, MacBooks, does this happen with any regularity? Do we know the numbers on how often cargo ships just lose a couple of containers? Because this is fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's something that definitely needs to be looked into. It's just sad that
not looked into as in, because, and please, I understand there are environmental concerns. Yeah. I want everyone to understand that's not where I'm coming from here. I'm coming at them from a treasure concerns.
Oh, no, that's where I'm coming from
as well. Oh, fantastic.
Like, how often should I be going to the Central Coast to be like, can I find, like you said, a TV, a PlayStation, a MacBook,
100%.
All electronics, which may not fare well in water if there's a leak?
Well, if the container stays watertight, washes up on the beach, how often is there a shipping container full of PlayStations, MacBooks, TVs?
Would you get in trouble? Like, legally sound is finders keepers, losers sweepers.
This is 100% what I wanted to talk to you about this morning.
Because pirates were
but they buried the treasure, and people then went and found the treasure, and they got to keep the treasure. So
did they?
I mean, that's, well,
this is what I need to find.
It's like hundreds of years later, and the pirates aren't around anymore. Yeah. But when you find like Spanish gold and stuff, that everyone's like, "Oh, this was pirates' loot."
Yeah,
they don't make it. The museums give it back to the descendants of the pirates.
That's so true.
This is a very confusing territory we've entered for what is essentially me talking about stealing PlayStations. Yep. But I think if you were to find a container, wash up on a beach. What if it was like you had a bit of a private beach setup, your Hemsworth style situations where maybe you technically owned the beach?
Yeah.
Does that complicate matters? Is it now your shipping container?
Well, yeah. You would have to imagine if it's washed up on your property, then it becomes your property. But then, once again, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. That sounds like it isn't real.
I love the fact that I've gone in this scenario. Let's talk about this. Mm. And the person I've decided to talk about it with is my 25-year-old best friend with no legal training whatsoever.
What's up?
And me, 29-year-old with no legal training whatsoever. This is maritime law, complicated international law that you and I have just decided to jump on in this morning with the promise of potential free PlayStations.
I'm just a little disappointed because it's not going to happen here.
Nah, that's
the best
a good
thing
point.
You could find washed up in Lake Billy Griffin is something you'd catch something from, I think.
Murray cod that we put in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like,
oh, there was a platypus in there once.
Do we really eat this? Yeah. Probably not. Yeah. Probably not safe.
Don't eat anything comes out of Lake Burley.
Probably don't
guys.
Just go in Lake Burley. Yeah, they're not safe. Yeah. Disappointing. No PlayStation's washing up for us.
Why have we decided to go down this path?
Mate.
Yeah.
June 1st.
What?
Law's changing.
You can drink Lake Burley Griffin water.
No. I'm getting in a car. I'm going to the Central Coast. just to let you know what's happening, okay?
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
The AFL is looking at a bit of an option here. So I don't know if you've ever... Picture this, an AFL jumper, right? The back of a
Guernsey.
Back of the Guernsey. The number's there.
Yep.
Underneath the number, there's usually a sponsor.
Yep.
And then above the number is just like, say it was Sydney Swans. Just be SF... C, so Sydney Football Club.
Yep.
So that's what it'd be there. Yep. Just little initials, basically.
Yep.
They're talking about getting rid of the initials, putting another sponsorship logo there.
Ooh, okay. So doubling up on sponsorships.
Doubling up on sponsorships.
There's already some on the front, isn't there?
There's heaps on the front.
Heaps
on the front. That one on the back, they're talking about an extra one on top of the number on the back.
I'm fine with that.
And people are like, that's a disgrace.
What, to who?
To tradition, to people with very, very delicate sensibilities. I have absolutely no idea who gets that upset about this.
Yep.
But there are people out there who get that upset
it's
about
it. It's got to say SFC, otherwise who will I know who's playing?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the colour, the giant swan on the front of the Guernsey. Yeah. Like, who knows?
The commentator's continuously saying, for Sydney Swans.
Score thing in the bottom that says Sydney
the
Swans.
The fans that hold up signs that say the Sydney Swans.
The fact that you can see players from the Sydney Swans wearing the... But anyway, the point here is, this is... Maybe I'm too much of the new school with this. Maybe this is an upset to some traditionalists. I just don't respect it. Maybe that is what's happening. But I got to tell you, there was a sponsorship opportunity for you and I right now to wear a company's logo while doing this show.
I got so much free real estate.
I would get it tattooed on my forehead for the right amount of money. Like I would cover myself head to toe in logos. If that was just easy money I could get for essentially... Because think about it, they're not doing anything extra.
Yeah.
They're just printing a new logo on the back of something that players were already going to wear anyway.
Yeah. It's funny because you see people get called sellouts, like bands or like...
No. That phrase shouldn't exist.
That to me...
Success is what you are.
Yeah, that's it. Also, I'm rich. Yeah, good.
Oh, God, mate. My song's on a Subway commercial.
Yeah.
Guess what? My kid's going to uni without a hex debt. How great's that?
I think it is a blessing that you and I operate in a strictly audio form because any sponsorship that can happen has to be said by you and I.
So what if we tried that right now? What if we tried, so basically... If I was to do what they're proposing here with the AFL, like, you know what, we're doing it anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That would probably be like at the end of sentences I just randomly had to mention company names.
Well, what
it?
If
It'd
you
be
and
like
I...
If I was just already talking and just as like much like wearing something on my back, on the back of sentences I just had to say a brand name. So
I'd love it if you and I were sponsored individually as well. So you give me yours and I'll give you mine.
Okay, fantastic. All right then, would you just continue talking?
Okay, so
just have a bit of a chat. Coming up, we've got music on the way from Pink, also Endor, Ned, but I've got a funny story to tell you about a cat.
Mm.
Costco, Ford, Toyota, McDonald's.
Really good.
That's coming up just after the 7 o'clock news. Coles, Woolworths.
Yeah, there's a big club line. There's a bit of a gap there. We'll iron out the kinks.
I also am getting sponsored by a lot of the same kind of companies. Ford and Toyota are both sponsoring me.
Coles and Woolworths.
Coles and Woolworths have both gotten together to sponsor me for some reason.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, the Queen's personal chef, her former personal chef, because I feel like maybe with the headlines he's running with, he might be fired.
Yeah, this is like the third chef tells all story. So here's a couple of things to think of. He's been fired, as you said, or maybe maybe he's incredibly bored because the Queen's not at Buckingham Palace at the moment. She's like in lockdown.
Yeah, we don't know if he's been fired.
No, I said they were two scenarios. Yeah,
he was a former one in the 90s. He used to cook for the Queen in
right,
the 90s.
Okay.
That's his deal. And he has come out and said that a couple of things that the Queen likes to eat. Things that he would be personally requested to make for her. Apparently, stay away from any kind of garlic. Not a real big fan of garlic, which I don't know how you don't like garlic. But at the same time, whatever. She's the Queen. She can have whatever she wants. The thing that was requested the most as a snack for her was shrimp on toast, as this guy said, with a bit of spicy butter. Secret spicy butter, which to me sounds like when you're a kid and you don't know what something's called, but you know how it tastes, and so you ask for that for your mum.
That spicy, buttery thing.
Yeah. Can I have, so if you didn't know what Nutella was, you're like, can I have chocolate butter?
Mm.
That sounds like what the Queen's asking
for. The chocolate jam.
And the fact that she calls it marinated in secret spicy butter.
Mm. I like that I think this is a great way to make yourself invaluable to, obviously, not this guy, he's not the chef anymore, but just don't tell people how you do things.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Just like, well, it's a secret that only I know. Well, yeah, look at him. Harlan Sanders laughing all the way to the bank.
Exactly. Well,
I mean, he's dead, but he would have been laughing all the way to the bank.
I just think this is it's a massive indicator that she is just a nan of because I've never heard of anyone eating shrimp on toast before. I've heard of spicy shrimp. I've never heard of shrimp on toast.
Let's be clear, shrimp prawns.
I think.
Yeah, shrimp
as
prawns.
As far as I'm concerned.
So I've never known anyone rich enough to just go, I have some prawn on toast.
Can I have a prawn on toast?
I just have prawns on toast. Usually prawns toast. Are like their own special thing where people are like, get some little tartare sauce, Thousand Island, whatever. You just go, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Never just, we'll whack that on some toast.
Yeah, give me some
That's
toast.
That's something to do with eggs, not with prawns.
This screams to me, Nana, who this is something that her mum used to make her when she was a little girl in 1920 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or it screams to me hungover the day after Christmas and you just start slapping stuff together from
the fridge. Whatever's in the fridge, yeah.
Like, give me some Christmas ham. Mm-hmm. I'll have some potato salad and some shrimp on toast.
Probably why this chef is now a former chef, because I don't think you're allowed to do that when you're a chef. You have to prepare meals, so just slap whatever together out of the fridge.
Well, he was probably like to the Queen, are you sure you want you know, I can make you anything. I'm a professional chef. I don't have to make you shrimp on toast. I can make you a tiramisu.
I've got a whole royal intrigue drama planned out in my head now. This is what happened. He was like an understudy chef.
Yeah.
He did this one morning after Christmas, slapped all this together, became the Queen's favourite thing, and the over-chef was so humiliated.
Yep.
Looking for reasons to fire him from that point forward.
Once again, have to state, he was not fired.
We don't know. We don't know what's happened.
We don't know what's happened. We do know that.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call Malaganis Edwards Johnson or visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.